Blog Talk Radio.
Hakeem.
We all know what time it is.
Dream team, big chips. Lyrically gifted, I keep your mind twisted. Spoken word poetry, I keep your heart lifted. Universal bound, I travel across the stars, landed on Earth. I travel that far, back in existence since my time of birth. My soul is timeless, I know my true worth. Open up a book, I really implore. Take it off the shelf. Study some more, summarize the facts, kick it on the track, vibrate wisdom, count to a stack, lesson now learn, you got money to burn, take it to the bank, it's the wealth you earn, treat it to the poor and it's living your soul, strive in life if you want much more, push down the gym, pick up the pen, free from the pen, 5 plus 10,
united we stand, divided we fall, if we can come together, we can go to Mars from the lands of the king. We can conquer all, but without education, we ain't going that far. United we stand, divided we fall. If we can come together, we can go to Mars from the land of the king. We can conquer all, but without education, we ain't going that far.
My third eye's awoken, I see the skies open. Knowledge of self, encourage words of focus. Youngin' in the game, but the world's so explosive. And I don't watch TV, the mess is so corrosive. Never exit to the brain, feels like I'm getting dumber. I see the Chinese go to school through the summer. All we think about is money, boy, flossing in the Hummer. And riding around with cash, trying to be the top gunner. Growing up broke, no daddy in sight. And mom explaining how the man ain't treating her right. Education be a ticket to take flight. Brother Malcolm told us before, all we gotta do is fight.
Welcome to Yon, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school. Today we have our very own Trent Myers hosting today's discussion, Youth Action Year-End Recap and Discussion. He's going to be talking about his transition from high school to college, what has that been like for him, having left T.A. Wilson and went to Jackson College. He's going to discuss all those issues with us. So I want to introduce you guys to your very own Yon, Youth Action Radio Network's host, Trent Myers.
Thank you for that lovely, lovely introduction. So I want to talk about high school to college transition and how easy it can be and how difficult it can be. Like, it's seriously like that. So my first time going to college, I didn't know what to expect, but I knew what I was doing from the start because I got to go on a tour and they told us everything. So when I got there, it was a really, really busy day, and I didn't think I was going to get seen, but they all made it pretty simple. You have people like CSS, Student Success Center, where you get to go and do your homework and everything else. And then there's the friends that you make on college campus. Those people are really, really important, especially the ones that you make in class, because you're going to get a lot of homework, but that's nothing to be scared about, because you're going to want to for your education with the way the world's going in today. And I know some people around me, you know, they feel the same way as far as I do. But one of my favorite things about going to college is getting to further my knowledge in all these books. But I want to talk to you about the difference between high school and college. And one of the differences is your classes and your teachers. Like, in college, you're paying to go to school there, so you want to get your education for what you're doing. And in high school, you're there to learn, too, so you can get prepared for college. In fact, high school classes are just as important as college classes. But in college, you get to learn a little bit more. You get hands-on learning. You get to do all these different things. For me, I'm going to be a mechanic, and I take mechanic classes, something that I didn't get to learn in high school, but if they had it, I definitely would have took it. It's like one of my favorite things. The teachers there, they're like really different. They have a cell phone policy. They don't care if you're on your cell phone, but when they're teaching, they want you to listen. In high school, I hear that they're pretty lenient on the cell phone rule now. Like, you can have your cell phone to do, like, certain things in work. In college, you pull out your cell phone and that teacher doesn't like that, they can throw you out of their class without an issue. First-year college students, as far as I know, it's going to be, like, a rough year unless you come prepared. You got to know how to do homework and spend a lot of time outside of classes and get that work done. It's basically the same like that for high school. The only difference is you probably don't get as much work. Teachers in college don't like sitting there with you and spending their time to help you get the work done. It's not as easy as they make it seem. I got another question. Hold on. Somebody asked me about tutors, and tutors, because my person right next to me is very shy, I'm not going to say anything about that, but tutors in college, they are available at JC. I hear that they're free and they're really nice people. When you go to meet them and everything, they're always there to help you. We have times and sessions that they set up, and they're basically there for anything. They got a tutor for basically every class, and it can be really helpful and take off a lot of stress off of you when you don't know what's going on, as far as I know. And I have been one of the kids that need a lot of help in college because I didn't get it off that easy my first year. I thought college was going to be something simple to go through, and it's really not. Luckily, they give out summer classes, so, like, if you can't spend your time in college during the school days and everything because you're constantly busy, they have summer classes out there, which is a good thing for people that are busy during school days and everything. I'll be right back. I have to go take a break real quick. All right, we back from our break, and I have a special friend of mine named Hakeem. He's also in college with me, and he has some issues going on with himself, too. He needs help with math. I don't mean to put him out there like that, but he does, and one of my issues is English. Hakeem, how is it when you don't know what you're doing in the class because all this stuff is so new to us?
It's definitely a challenge. And like as you said, I definitely have a struggle with math, and I'm sure many people do. And I would say that dealing with the challenge in a classroom setting, you have a difficulty to overcome. It does slow down the learning process, and it kind of makes it much more difficult to get through it. And that's why, as you point out, there's great help that is available at JC. And with the trio, with many other groups there, they're definitely able to help you. And I think that we should be trying to utilize those resources. So especially when you're coming on to school, transitioning from high school, one of the biggest challenges is being able to stay up to par with the classroom. I think that that's one of the things that students don't take advantage of is, in fact, those resources available at the college. So take advantage of them.
I know my first year going to college, and it still is my first year, my first semester, I definitely didn't take advantage of my resources, and I kind of regret not doing that because they would have been a big help, and now that I'm getting to them all extra late, I'm still doing really good, but I have struggled through so much, and it's been really hard to get through things and get stuff done. But my main struggle is in English class, and I try to explain to my English teacher the best way that they can help me, and they are there to help and listen. If you have an issue, you can schedule appointments with them after school or after class. They love that. Especially since it's your money and you're paying for their time to help you. So it's a good question to ask your teachers that they can meet with you after class. Have you ever had to do that?
No, I haven't. I haven't had to do that, actually. But it is a great idea. It's highly recommended to take the time out to ask your professors and ask others there that are able to help. Take that time after class, before class, and those days, those hours are available for tutoring and things of that nature. You got to take advantage of that. And what I would say about the English class is this, is that one of the easiest ways to help yourself improve with your English is to actually read more. That's just the bottom line. The more you read, the better you become as an English communicator, the better you become as an English speaker, better you become as an English writer. The more you read, the more you absorb the information, the written information coming into you. So just increase your reading, and it definitely will increase your English.
I can say the same thing about math, because the way I became real good at math was I actually read the lesson, read the book. I check out math books and everything. I know a lot of terms and math words, so it seems a lot simpler when the math teacher uses these big words like, what is an acute? It's a right angle of a triangle, 90 degrees. And in these college terms books, you get these words like that, and most of these kids don't understand what it is. And for those of you that do, it makes it a lot simpler because you actually know what you're looking for when you figure out the problem. But as far as English and reading goes, it's really hard for people that have disabilities like dyslexia or a speech impediment. And it's like a goal that they have to step over, a marching goal. And a lot of these kids out here nowadays don't let that stuff affect them. They keep stamping up and trying to make it over that goal to prove that just because they have some disability, it's not going to affect them with the way that they are, who they are, because they actually want a better education for themselves, and they get tired of everything that's been happening. I was one of them kids. I have ADHD, all them things, and it's hard for me to do stuff, keep my mind focused and everything, but I don't let that be my downside. I focus as best as I can. I put that to my heart. I train, and I keep it all going. But other than that, how do you feel about the weather going on today?
The weather? I'm actually enjoying it. I mean, we ain't got no snow. We're in the middle of December. It's beautiful. They got snow over in Egypt a couple of weeks ago for the first time in 112 years.
For real?
Yeah. That'd be beautiful if we didn't get snow for 112 years. I would never have to see it for the rest of my life.
man, you know what? If we all get to see that, I'd be happy, you know.
Yeah.
The nice weather, it's been getting warm out, it's been getting cold. Some people call it the pneumonia weather. I was unfortunately disappointed that we didn't get snow because I wanted to build an igloo this year for the very first time, and it didn't happen.
You're going to have your chance. Come January, February, you're going to see plenty of snow.
And I don't want it then.
Me neither.
Because it's supposed to be warm days right there, you know. My birthday is in the summer. I don't want to be stuck with that in the snow on my birthday in the summer. I'm going to be thinking, what happened? Is this a new dawn? Is this a new age? Are we about to be taken over by dinosaurs or something? I can't explain it. I don't really know. I just think it's ridiculous and kind of funny and crazy. But the other thing I want to talk about that I've been hearing on the news and people have been talking about lately is all these challenges, the ASL challenges, I believe. Right?
Who? ASL, what are you talking about?
All right. I forgot the challenges that people do for these companies to earn money, like the ginger challenge or the fireball challenge or the cinnamon challenge. In fact, I have some on these about the cinnamon challenge and the fire challenge and how some people just do these for the attention and to make people think that they're cool.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those things. I did see the fire challenge where they poured alcohol or something on their body and set it on fire. Yeah, that stuff is real dangerous, and it goes to show, you know, our level of maturity, you know, because we, as mature people growing, you know, adults, we don't harm ourselves. We don't intentionally inflict harm on ourselves. For some reason, humans, one of our weaknesses is our flesh, and one of our weaknesses is we give in to self-destruction.
Peer pressure.
And it ain't so much as just peer pressure. It's just a human beyond the peer pressure. It's just our tendency to want to self-destruct, to want to harm ourselves. And explore the magnitude of self-inflicted pain, we get a rush from that for some reason. And it's unfortunate to us with the level of sensibility because we realize the danger that could happen just from being reckless.
The same thing with the cinnamon challenge. Like, have you heard about the cinnamon challenge? A person takes 1 teaspoon of cinnamon and tries to swallow it within 60 seconds. As far as I know, those are the rules. While it seems relatively simple, I've seen these videos all over the internet and people attempting these stunts, coughing up clouds of red, reddish, dust, brown clouds. For viewers with asthma and stuff, that's like really bad for them. Some of these people have been sent to the hospital because their lungs have collapsed from it and it's like really, really dangerous. So far, they say no one has died, so like we don't know how potentially deadly this stuff really is. But a report in 2012 says that 240% of the American population in 2012 called the chronic obstructive, I can't say that, COPD disease from the cinnamon challenge. And as far as I know, it doesn't sound like a good disease that people would want. And people have been catching on to this.
Yeah, that's a disease that's usually found in people that smoke, COPD, and that's a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And people that smoke tobacco over a long period of time develop this type of disease in their lungs. And if swallowing cinnamon of this nature like that causes COPD, then it's very, very dangerous and deadly. You know, kids, you know, you have to be very conscientious not to be doing, practicing these things. When you go to a transition to a new school, you may see that these kids on campus do this, these types of challenges. Don't get involved in silly things like that. You stay focused and grow and mature.
Like we said, it's the way the real power held is inside these books, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So I don't understand most of these challenges. I remember the ice bucket challenge. I, for one, did do the ice bucket challenge. I didn't see no harm into it, but some people have caught pneumonia from doing the ice bucket challenge, and I was just one of the lucky few people that didn't get it. And I heard that some people that catch pneumonia are very ill because they don't have a strong immune system. And these challenges are rare, like done specifically by teenagers. You don't see very many adults. And the reason why they say it's done by teenagers is because there's a certain part in their brain called the, what is it called? Medulla, I think. I can't quite
remember. Gland?
Yeah.
Pituitary gland? What?
Yeah, the pituitary gland. And like I said with the cinnamon challenge, that what the cinnamon is ground up bark, tree bark.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes really good when you cook it in your food. But what's really in it is insulin, and that's why it's so bad for people with asthma and all these other things. So, like, I don't see it ever being a good thing. Like, if you're going to do a challenge, do one that is really good. Like, challenge somebody to read a book, a really big book.
Yeah, they did a challenge like that right around the ice challenge, the ice bucket challenge. Somebody did a read a book challenge, and it got popular a little bit, you know. But we definitely need to be promoting more things of that nature, more positive, constructive challenges that meet the same demand, you know.
I hear you right there. You know, these popular challenges that we hear, like I like the read a book challenge. In fact, I did it. I read a Harry Potter book. I enjoyed it. It was like one of the biggest books I read, and I decided to read the rest of them. I loved it. It was a really good book. I already saw the movie, and the movie didn't compare to the book. It came really close, and it brightened my horizon. I learned a lot of stuff, things that I see in the real world that I read in this book that I didn't ever think I would notice.
So let's take a recap real quick and recap some of the youth action events we had this year. We went to the library for the Game of Life, and
yep.
That was, man, that was interesting. That was our second time doing that. So let's talk about that. Tell us about your experience with the Game of Life at the library in October.
Well, I saw these kids come together and put together the Game of Life. A Game of Life is something that was created by our very own youth voice person, Pristine. She did this from seeing what has happened in a point of her life, and she wanted us to reenact it. She made her very own play, and we had a very big show up of people that came there. And what it basically is where you can end up inside this world based on your action when we do have control of it, but we let our emotions take over. And what I have saw was that these kids have gone to prison. Some kids have it more rough than the kids that ended up in juvenile halls and prisons everywhere. Like we had some kid named Timmy who was foster cared, and his teachers didn't care about that because he didn't take the time to talk to them because he was constantly under anger and stuff because he didn't get to know his family, and he had so many unsolved answers and questions.
Yeah, it's definitely, the Game of Life is definitely an eye-opener for a lot of people to see the realities of what happens to kids that find themselves being what's called pushed out of school because they have certain conditions that they come to school with, maybe traumatic situations from their household, other behavior or learning disabilities or poverty issues, or for whatever reason the school teacher or the program or the curriculum may not be structured suitable for this particular child's own adolescent development. And so there becomes a conflict. And so there's multiple conflicts throughout the schools that we end up calling a school push-out because the schools haven't created an adequate response to these caustic conditions. And so kids find themselves being pushed out of school, suspended, exposed, and find themselves falling further and further behind. And so it's what we call a national problem, and they call it the school-to-prison pipeline. And we've been working on it here at Youth Action. I'm here with this radio station. This radio show is designed to give the youth a voice to discuss these issues, to find solutions to them, to bring them to the attention of those who need to know about them, to rally support, and et cetera. So, yeah, the Game of Life was a phenomenal event.
We had some other events that happened lately over the past since we started the show, like was over the summer. We constantly met up. We wrote shows down. We recapped everything. We've been to major events. We went to the president's house, had a lovely dinner. We got to rap to a bunch of people and get some support. And they thought what we were doing is a really good idea, and I'm glad that they do because all the more support we get from all these people is really great. It shows that we can make a difference in our world and a positive change for everyone. How do you feel about them thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Going to the president of Jackson College House, Dr. Dan Phelan, for the Jackson Community Foundation's annual gala, that was a great event for us to get exposure for what we all do as students. As facilitators of youth programs, it was great for us to go there and to show them that the work they do in raising money to fund programs, such as the programs we all are involved in, is something that's great, and it really goes a long way. Yourself, Asia, and Caleb got a chance to meet a lot of good people and to demonstrate, you know, your own potentials of greatness in this world. And so, yeah, that was a great event. And we also went to Ann Arbor a few times to some trainings up there, and that was good, too. But you guys definitely got to get those extra opportunities to learn things that you don't necessarily learn in the classroom.
I really like your approach on that. And the way I see it is that we love the teenagers around here and stuff because they're our next generation of the next people that might be ruling the world. And we love them to come in on our show and talk about some of their previous things and events that they have done and how they have had significant changes in their life. But at this moment, we're going to have to take a break from our show right now with Yarn, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth. We discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school.
All right, welcome back to Yarn today.
If you want to call in the show and listen in live or talk to any of the hosts, you can call in at 646-787-8151. That's 646-787-8151. So let's talk about where we want to go with Youth Action Radio Network over the next semester, over the next after the holiday break. Where would you like to see it go?
Well, before I say anything about that, I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas. You know, the holidays are coming up. It's going to be really good. And
Happy Kwanzaa.
Oh, yeah, that too. You know, we got a few laughters going up in here. Can't take everything seriously. But within the new year coming, I hope to see some changes, you know. Like, they redid downtown, and I thought that was just a waste of money to, like, repave the whole street. We got so many streets around here that can be paved instead of just putting potholes, like, filling them up. And why don't we, like, start regulating challenges, like, things that we do around here, like where streets that might come down, where people can be at. And I feel like if we did more events in this town, we probably raise a lot of money and we could have really nice stuff. And
yeah. We see the reality is that things that you're talking about are not going to get done in this community because we lack what they call grassroots leadership. We don't have leadership within the communities that are impacted by those issues and problems that are in representative voice or leadership to be able to effect political movement in that direction where something would take place where those things would be remedied. Instead, you see what happened in downtown, which really necessarily wasn't a waste of money because those pipes under what they did was to the construction on Michigan Ave, they redid the pipes under there.
I remember that.
It wasn't based on them redoing the road. The roads wasn't bad. It was the pipes under there that hadn't been changed in 100 years. And so the building that our office was in, for example, was impacted by those pipes constantly leaking. Many of the other businesses down there, they had several issues because of those pipes. But, you know, we need to get involved, and that's why Youth Action Radio Network is designed to actually help motivate young people so they become the next future generation of leaders who actually kind of reach out to those issues and topics that are really important to the fabric of the community, to the quality of life of the community, the people that live there. Instead of what's happening in Jackson, there's a lot of people that don't really live within the inner city areas of Jackson where there's a lot of social breakdown and poverty. You don't have those people in there. So they're not being impacted by the self-destruction of the communities. So they don't need to affect any policies that where they need to redo or redefine those communities. You see what I'm saying? So we need to become leaders with our own community. You guys need to step up and make that a concern.
Like one day downtown, I was thinking like all these business and companies, if they wanted to, you know, have a lovely day, have everybody come down on a nice day, have like a big giant cookout where everybody socializes. And then we can have, like, some community stand on a stand where we talk about certain days where we do all this stuff and the whole town talks about it. And we all can agree on something to get this done where we could do fundraisers, how schools do fundraisers and stuff. And if we get it done like that, I feel like we could seriously make a change in this town. Like, every New Year's, people go downtown and they talk, well, these last few New Year's, since it's been cold out, nobody goes down there anymore. We got one tent. Well, we got three tents and, you know, containers that heat up the tents, and we had, like, some food inside of them. And, you know, like, food prices go down just a little bit. We raised that money, and we put it to good use inside our town for all these people. We open up new businesses every day. Like, why don't we open up something for our teenagers, you know, a place where they can go take a time out, be teenagers, and have fun where there's no violence and everybody gets along.
Yeah, those are definitely all the things we definitely need in our community. And those are things we're going to have to work toward. We're going to have to constantly work on that and build that and get our feet wet. You know, a lot of us, we're not getting our feet wet. That's why some of our co-hosts aren't here today, because we're just not committed to getting our feet wet. And we have to get our feet wet to get out here and do the work. If we're not going to do the work, then it's not going to get done. If it's not going to get done, then what's going to happen? Decadence. You know what decadence is? It's from the word decay. So things is going to decay, and our schools are going to continue to crumble. Streets are going to crumble. You know what I mean? Our houses are going to dilapidate. You know, decadence. And that's what we live in, a time of decadence. We got to step up and get our feet wet.
I, for one, when I saw the construction workers downtown and stuff, I wish that they, like we had some programs that did, like, a small training that allowed us people, as the people, to walk in and help them out with their work so we could get some experience.
Absolutely. We thank everybody for joining us for this episode of Youth Action Radio Network. Y'all know what this is. This is the voice of today's youth. What we do, we discuss real-life issues. Why? Because they impact kids in school. So thanks for joining us. Join us next week. Probably be back next week before the holidays, Monday. Might even come back this Friday, maybe tomorrow. We don't know, but stay tuned to Blog Talk Radio Network / Youth Action Radio Network. Check us out on Facebook. We everywhere. Trent Myers, your co-host. Tell them goodbye.
Goodbye, you guys. I had a lovely time.
Peace, peace, peace in the Middle East of the west side of Jackson.